teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. We will have Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince talking about the exciting 105-97 Illinois victory over Minnesota, where I thought we were going to an NCAA game and an NBA game broke out. We'll be right back after this minute with Brad Sturdy.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf.
800-485-8801. 800-485-8801. That's 800-485-8801.
And this is Mike Kegley. As promised, we've got Brad Sturdy on. Brad, we're coming out of a historic game, 105-97. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of people who are frustrated with the defense. I walked away from that game going, okay, if I got to watch a game that Illinois won, first off, I don't care. I don't care if they win by a quarter of a point, but I will say that it was an entertaining game, and I don't know that I've ever seen a team go 14 for 20 from the three-point area and lose, so that was kind of a first for me as a basketball fan. But what were your thoughts? Because you were there at the game. You got to see this offense that really was pretty incredible tonight. You know, you've got Minnesota scoring at a 1.565 points per possession, and then Illinois saying, well, watch this, and going at an amazing 1.694. You know, it's kind of like I went to a college game and an NBA game broke out. But give me your thoughts of what it's like there.
The offenses were fantastic. I mean, Illinois got whatever they wanted on offense almost every possession. They scored on 26 of 32 second half possessions.
Wow.
If you understand how hard that is to do, that's really hard. And that includes, you know, they had two turnovers, I think, in the second half. So, you know, you have two turnovers, those two of the possessions. So, they turned over, they scored on 26 of 30 possessions. That's really insane. It's really, really impressive the way they were able to, you know, get the and Minnesota had no chance. They couldn't guard Shannon off the dribble. They couldn't guard Damask off the dribble or in the post. And so they had to come double. So they would come trap or double, and they just left wide open backside threes. So it's just a matter of whether they knock them down. And it's just they get wide open threes. And then not only that, you also have the option to crash the offensive glass because they're in rotation, so it makes it easier to rebound. So it was a great offensive performance. I don't get discouraged when, you know, Illinois wins this game by 8 points. They led by 12 late. Yeah, I mean, it's almost like people would, if they'd won 80-74 or 72, it would have been good. But because it was 105-97, it's not as good. I don't get it. Like, I mean, do I think they have some defensive issues? I do. But, man, I love watching people make baskets. I mean, that's fun. I don't know. I mean, maybe they need to. Maybe the people that are complaining should go cheer for Iowa football. And they could win, you know, 9-6 and have fun. I don't know. Or lose 9-6, whatever. I don't know. It just seems like there are issues. There's no question they need to do a better job defensively. But when you watch this game, Minnesota hit 9 threes off the dribble. Yep. Do you know how rare that is in college basketball?
Yeah, that's.
I don't think people understand. And you, Mike, you said teams don't usually lose when they shoot 70% for three.
Yeah.
In fact, it hasn't happened in a Power 5 conference since at least 2010-11, but I don't have stats past that. So in the last 14 years, no team – this is the first team to lose in at least 13, 14 years while shooting 60% for the floor and 70% for three, Minnesota. So how would you like to – you know, you think Illinois feels bad. How would you like to be Minnesota? We had the best offensive performance of our lives, and we lost.
You know, real quick, I know this isn't you know, an Illinois type of thing, but I'm going to ask you a tough question here. Do you vote for Ben Johnson as coach of the year in the Big Ten? I mean, my gosh, if any of if you would have told me at the start of the year Minnesota's going to win 17 games, I would, you know, call up your wife and say, we need to get a drug test going.
I mean, I think he definitely should be in the mix. Honestly, but the guy on the other sideline, how about Brad Underwood?
I agree.
If Illinois wins 2 of 3 down the stretch here in their last three games, goes 2-1, and Underwood's sitting, what would that make them? I think, would that make it 14-6? 14-6 with, and I don't know how he wouldn't be at least in the top three. I mean, it seems to me. So I think those would be the guys. I mean, you know, I feel like a few guys have been able to retool a team the way that he does so quickly year to year, you know, with such changeover. So, but Ben Johnson's been fantastic this year. I honestly thought that he was going to get run out of town heading into the season. I thought they were going to struggle, and then, you know, they were relying on a freshman, Cam Christie, and then, you know, what he had, you know, he brings, Hawkins has been fantastic. He's been great. Dawson Garcia is a really good player. They don't have much depth yet. They're not very deep, but at the same time, they do a good job. And you can see, though, once they have to go to their bench and they get in a little foul trouble, they're on the struggle bus too. So, but this is a really good starting five for them.
Yeah, I think their biggest worry is, will they have the NIL funds to keep everybody? Because it's a new world out there, and boy, you could see a lot of teams watch Cam Christie play and Farrell Payne and go, boy, we'd like to have them on our team. And, you know, now it's now the official Wild West with the NCAA having no teeth. Let's go back. Let's talk about Illinois' defense. You know, I get a lot of complaints that Coleman Hawkins, you know, playing defense in the paint. I'm not certain I expect him as a thin four to be a really bruising five defensively. I thought Dane was a fantastic move by the coaching staff to bring him in and help out because they'll need him against bigger centers. What is your thought on the whole, you know, on the defense and what they did tonight? Because I don't know that this team without a massive rim protector, I think they have to do things differently than Illini teams of the past. There's no Kofi walking through the door to scare the hell out of everybody in the lane.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think they have to be a little different. I think the one thing about Coleman is, like, what Brad would like to see is him be a little bit stronger and get some extension, use his length, and maybe and get some weak side help coming over when you know those guys are going one-on-one. They got on a date a couple times tonight. Quincy, I noticed that, and then you saw Dane come over and block a shot. There was a foul before there. But that's what they'd like to see. When they see that guy going up for that shot, that weak side guy can come and block that shot. And they don't – but you saw tonight what they did a poor job of was twos. I mean, they allowed too many open threes. And I get, you know, some of them were off the dribble, they were pull-ups and things. They allowed too many threes that they probably shouldn't have. And they're a team that wants to prevent threes. That's their whole defensive philosophy. They gave up 20 attempts and 14 makes. And, you know, obviously none of them were off the dribble. But at the same time, if you're going to be a team that, you know, wants them to take twos, you got to do that. So you got to execute. So it's really just Underwood talk post-game. They make a lot of mistakes defensively. don't know that Coleman Hawkins is not going to be a great post defender. But, you know, Dawson Garcia, he took 23 shots tonight, I think it was. He was 12 of 23.
Yep.
He wasn't really the issue. The issue was, you know, Cam Christie and then also Hawkins, who went nuts, right?
Yeah.
You know, what do you have, 12 assists, no turnover, something like that? I mean, something
yes.
The same number. Okay.
Yes.
So, and he had some really tough step-back shots and things, so. Sometimes, you know, I think that Dawson Garcia wasn't the main issue, even though he had a lot of points. They made him do it on 23 shots in a game where, I mean, and I'm not trying to be mean here, but he was the least efficient of all the guys who scored 20 points.
You're exactly correct, yep.
And so that's what you want from him. It was more their defense on the other guys. I thought they let Christie get some confidence early. Then they put Shannon on him and then Harmon, and they did a much better job on him, you know, in the second half and after that. So. You know, they have to get better defensively. They're never going to have – they don't have that athletic, mobile, strong big who can protect the rim. But they can be better than they have been. And maybe that's by, you know, that late help, the timing, the reads, and also understanding, you know, the mistakes they make. Like, they let Garcia get back to his left hand way too many times in the post. You know, he wants to get that right shoulder, go to that left hand. You got to make him go the other way. The scary part is, Mike, you know who did the best job guarding him in the two possessions where he had him? It was Terrence Shannon.
Oh, Terrence Shannon. We talked about that earlier. He actually forced Garcia, you know, tried to go inside on Shannon, couldn't move him, and then he went backwards and took a jump shot. It reminded me of a similar time a couple of years ago when Demonte did that to the big on Northwestern, who is escaping me now. Yeah, Pete Nance did the same thing where he, you know, it's like 6'10 on 6'3", and he decided to go out and shoot the jumper instead of go inside. And I thought that was a big moment because, you know, that's kind of a big win for Shannon, and he imposed his will on Garcia on that play.
Yeah, definitely. By the way, did you see Shannon bump the Carrington kid late in the game, and he had to go out?
Yeah,
because he just had contact. Because Shannon's like, he's just a, I mean, he's just a freak athlete, and he's so strong. Man, when he gets that acceleration going, it's like you just get out of the way. Safer for everybody.
Yeah, he's one I'm going to have to send a note to Jerry Jones that if Terrence wants to play wide receiver, can you imagine the speed that he has? You throw a jump ball, it's not going to be a 50-50 ball. It's going to be a 110-0.
Yeah, it's great.
So when Terrence ends up in the NBA or the NFL, we started it here. What were your other thoughts going down the roster? I mean, I thought it was incredible. We had three guys over 20 points again. You had Guerrier with 10, Danger with 11, so five in double digits. Really a strong night from just about everybody. Offensively, Domask, as you said, was really working well in the lane. You know, and even little things like Harmon, you know, when he gets the ball on that left side, he's going to take the ball to the middle. And if you give him even a remote crease and he goes in for that across the lane layup, and he's deadly on that.
Yeah, that's his spot, right? I mean, he gets that spot, and that's where he's going to be effective. And yeah, I thought Harmon's really good defensively. He didn't force things offensively because he really didn't have to. He's like, these dudes are scoring at will. I don't want to mess it up.
Yeah.
I thought Dane was good. Even Luke Goody, I thought Luke Goody didn't play a lot of minutes, but I thought he came in. You know, the first possession, somebody said, well, Luke missed that three badly. He's got to make it. That was just, he'd been sitting for 16 minutes. He hadn't touched the ball. His first catch, the open three. And I'm not saying he shouldn't shoot it, but, man, that is a – because it was the rhythm shot, but it's tough when you haven't touched the ball. Next one he gets, he's great, and that's what you want him to do. He didn't play a lot, that's okay. Ty Rogers, I thought that he had a couple nice plays. I wish he would just take the ball up under the basket. Too many times he kicked it out.
Three.
He can't lay it. I mean, There were three times when he hit, basically uncontested layups, so we kicked it out for three. We look like we're you know, Loyal Marymount or Grinnell, you know.
Or Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons, maybe. But, you know, at the rim, take it up, Ty. You know, finish it, he can do that. But I, gotten his head a little bit. He's obviously having some issues, just confidence issues with finishing. I'd like to see him be a little better, but, you know, Hansberry went in there. I thought he battled.
Yes.
I thought Nico Moretti went in there, and you tried to let him play come in, see if it worked. The word Illinois did not need Moretti tonight because offensively they were going to play through DeMass. You know, they were going to play through ball screens. And so I think you saw what they were able to do. And, you know, there's no point making that change tonight. And there are different games going to be different matchups. So you just have to kind of, you know, let it play. Guys are going to have good nights, bad nights, whatever. I mean, there were people talking about how DeMass was having such a bad game because he's got to figure this out. He's only 1 of 4. He only got 4 points at halftime, blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, he's got 22-7-5. I mean, he just dominated the second half, and that's where you just got to let guys kind of play and let it play out before you decide. But different matchups are going to, you know, favor different guys, and that's the way that the whole thing works. And Illinois did a better job tonight of exploiting all the mismatches they had. And Minnesota, give them credit. I mean, they made shots. I mean, I was impressed with the shots they were making. Because they're like, you know, I don't care if you're wide open. You don't shoot 70% from three very often. Especially, you know what I mean? So now they're shooting them off the dribble with guys coming from behind, contesting them, whatever. Sometimes you just tip your hat.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I walk away thinking this Minnesota team, I'm not certain they're going to make it into the tournament. But
they just make NIT, though, and I think they can do some damage.
I totally agree. And who knows, you know, you get lucky and find a way to the Final Four or the Big Ten or something like that. Maybe you get lucky. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of teams who watched this game tonight and said, I really don't want a piece of these guys.
Yep. No, I agree. I thought the one thing Illinois could do defensively is they made a few mistakes early on and they let guys get in rhythm offensively. And you know, I talk about this all the time. If you let a guy early in the game get hot, you know, he gets going, those guys didn't have confidence. And they just think they're going to make everything. That's what happened with Christie tonight. And they let him get going early. And so he gets a wide open one off of, you know, a little miss switch on a screen, and boom, he drains it. Well, then the next one, he hits the pull-up, DeMass coming over the top, and he kind of leans in, drains it. It's like, man, that's a big-time shot. And, you know, then by the end of the half, every time, you know, he's just hot. He's feeling it. He's in the zone the whole game. You know, that's why he finishes with, I think, 24 points. So,
yeah.
You know, 6-7 in the second half, though, I think that was a I think Illinois did a better job on him after that.
Yeah, no, I agree. And as we look forward now, you got a big game on Saturday at Wisconsin. At Saturday doesn't really make sense. What are you thinking here? You know, Illinois plays at Wisconsin, then they play the one-man army of Purdue next week at home, and then finish up the season at Iowa. That is that's a murderer's row. I don't care what anybody says, because those all three teams have a reason to beat Illinois. You know, Wisconsin's got to right the ship after a second Greg Gard rough patch at the end of the season in a row. They want to protect that five line. Purdue wants to protect the one line, and Iowa wants to do what they can to make it into the tournament or improve their line. So these are going to be three motivated teams. What are you expecting for that Wisconsin game?
Well, you know, Wisconsin is obviously different, but Wisconsin's not a lot different than Minnesota in the way they play. Obviously, they don't have the point guard like Hawkins and Heppers, not that guy, but they're very similar in the sense that they get scratching and shooting. If you let them get going from three, they're going to hurt you. They got kind of a four-man at Tyler Wall. It's a little bit, I mean, you can compare him to Josh Garcia. He's different in the size, but he can deck it. He can get inside. He likes to play inside. And they're a big guy. You know, he can stretch and shoot it. So they're a good team. I think that Illinois, biggest thing for Illinois in that game is if they make good decisions and good reads, it will be interesting to see Wisconsin, because I don't think Wisconsin can play the their normal pack line defense that they would play against teams, because I think Illinois could score against that. So I think Wisconsin's going to have to change things up. We'll see if a little chess match between guard and Underwood will be interesting. But I think that transition, if Illinois can't turn it over, and they're going to get good shots, I think they have a great chance to win there in Wisconsin. Wisconsin's not playing great basketball. They're the opposite of Minnesota. Minnesota's playing really well right now. Wisconsin's not playing as well. So, yeah, I think that's a game they can win. And then you come to Purdue, and that I believe Purdue game is house money. Although it's a home game, I don't feel like Illinois has anything to lose when you're playing, you know, the team that's probably number one or two, three. They're definitely one of the top three teams in the country. And just go compete. They do have mismatches there, too. I mean, you saw that last time they played. You know, and they didn't have Terrence Shannon, but, you know, they struggled to guard DeMoff. And, you know, obviously, Illinois did a really good job on Edie, I thought, last time. At least limiting, but guys like Lance Jones slid them off and Braden Smith. So, you know, they have to get a little better. They're going to have some more teeth in that defense. And we know Iowa's going to be, that game's going to be just like tonight's game and the last game of time. It's going to be like 90-something to 80-something. It just depends on whether you're in the 90s or the 80s, I think, in that one, because those teams can score. But again, I don't think Iowa can stop Illinois. You know, can Illinois get enough stops to beat Iowa at Iowa? I don't know, but I think they'll score. And that's the weird part about this team. And if you look at their efficiency numbers outside of tonight, they've actually been better on the road offensively than they have at home, which is kind of shocking and rare.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah, like I said, I could see this Illinois team going 3-0. I could see them going 0-3 these next few games, and I'm not thinking that I'm not going to think too differently of the team, no matter what happens, unless they, you know, don't play. I mean, you know, play really badly.
Yeah, I think if they go 3-0, I feel pretty good about them moving up to the 3 line. I mean, I really do. Maybe who knows? I mean, depending on what other teams do, you're looking at a team that's 24-7 with wins, you know, 3 more quad one wins. Suddenly they slide up. I think they slide up to a high 3 or maybe even a low 2 if they could win those 3. And they're going to be at least second in the Big Ten if they do that, maybe even first, depending on what Purdue does. Man, that would be a wild change of things. And I think they'd be in a really good spot. And suddenly they'd be a trendy Final Four pick.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, it you know, you just want the Illini to get out of the first weekend, and then, you know, anything else is icing. You know, you want to get them to that, to the point where they get to go to the Sweet 16 every year would be a fantastic place to go. And if you're doing that, then you start making those runs that, you know, put you in a title game and have that opportunity to bring home the trophy. Any other thoughts, Brad, as you're heading back to home from covering the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing is, you know, everything's in perspective. At the end of the day, you just have to win the game in front of you. You can only play one game at a time. They can't suddenly go back and say, oh, we're better defensively last game. You got to work on the next thing. Get ready for the next game. I thought Coleman Hawkins, Brad Underwood, both answered that question really well. Are there concerns about the defense? They want to play better defense? Yeah. But you can't go back and fix it. You got to keep working on it, keep grinding. Get ready for Saturday and go to Madison and have a good performance. And that's really what they're looking for. The one thing I'll say is that this team is one of the most fun teams to watch that I've ever covered at Illinois. And I've been doing it a long time and watching a long time. And I'll be honest with you, they might rank, I don't know, third or fourth on my whole fun to watch thing. Obviously, 89 and 05 would be the two most fun teams to watch. But this team might be third.
Wow.
Because, man, because they're fun. I mean, they get after it. We get highlight reel dunks. We get transition. We got threes. We got, you know, one of the best athletes to ever put on an Illini uniform. We've got guys who play old school. We got, you know, I don't know. I mean, they're just a really fun group to watch play. And offense is fun. Regardless, I mean, it's just fun to watch teams score and basically dissect teams on the offensive end. That's what Illinois does. And I'd probably fourth on some of my favorite teams to watch. I did love the 97-98. I think it was the 97-98. Was that this year? No. 97-98 was that when Kruger won the Big Ten with, you know, Otis, Matt Heltman, those guys, Lucas Johnson.
Yep. Yeah, the Marcus Griffin. I like the Marcus Griffin era, although that was a little WWE. And I also will always be partial to that team that lost in Rupp Arena.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. They were fun to watch. I think this team just might be for me. I'm not saying they're better.
Right.
I think they're just fun to watch.
Yeah. The Undisputed King, though, for me is the 89 team because they could do just everything, you know, whether it was shoot from outside, slam dunk, you know, and very reminiscent of this team, probably with, you know, multiple guys who got a little bit of time in the NBA. So that makes it exciting.
I agree.
Perfect. Well, Brad, we appreciate you coming on here. I know that it's definitely a lot going on. Of course, folks, you want to get the latest information. The Sports Spectacular will be on Friday or Saturday. Check your local listings. And, of course, Brad, Ked, and I will be back after the Wisconsin game on Saturday late afternoon. We're hoping to be in a happy mood. That's what we've been the last couple games. The Illini are starting to find their footing. Let's see if it continues. It will be a very hard-earned victory if you can get a victory up in Wisconsin. But Brad Underwood has been about as good as anybody in the league at finding a way to win up there. Should be an exciting game on Saturday at 12 o'clock. Thanks, Brad. We'll be right back after these messages.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info and recruiting, IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams, and we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
Hi, I'm Ronnie Deutsch, and if you or your business owe money to the IRS, I've got great news for you. Tax laws have changed. Billions of dollars are earmarked for IRS Fresh Start programs, and if you qualify, you can literally save tens of thousands of dollars. Listen, I know what you're going through. Call me if you want to speak with a tax attorney or tax professional for free.
800-523-6376. That's 800-523-6376.
This is Mike Kegley. I'm here with Kedrick Prince. We are going to talk about the Illini's 105-97 victory over Minnesota, where we saw a team go 14-for-20 from the three-point line and lose. So that is just that's something you just don't see very much. But boy, what a game offensively from the Illini, where we were able to see Terrence Shannon Jr. go for 29. He made it to 1,000 points faster than anybody has ever done before. I think he did it in 53 games, and D. Brown did it in like 59. We have Marcus Damask finish with 22 points, Coleman Hawkins with 20 points, Dane Danger with 11, and Quincy Guerrier with 10. And then 6 for Harmon, 4 for Rogers, and 3 for Goody. Was really quite a night. Moretti and Hansberry got in a little bit for a couple minutes as well. It was an offensive onslaught, with the Illini shooting 61% for the game. Just a incredible percentage, 61.3%. Unfortunately, Minnesota shot 60%. And, you know, when you look at the shooting percentages like that, I think a lot of it comes to rebounding, where the Illini had a large advantage, 31-23. And I think the understated thing, Ked, is the Illini only had 4 turnovers. So they weren't just going down and wasting possessions very often. And, you know, and also, like, Coleman Hawkins had no turnovers. So you talk about somebody who had a great game, but had a couple turnover games. He came back really strong with that. So, Ked, I've thrown an awful lot out there. We have Illini fans who can't watch this because they can't stand the Illini defense. And here's what I would say to that. I will take 105-97 victory any day of the week versus the 38-33 loss that Illinois had, and you held somebody to 38 points and lose against Penn State under Bruce Weber. So I'm old enough to remember a lot of things. Again, the defense may be what slays this dragon at some point, but if I have to watch a game, I guess, with no scoring that goes down to the end and I'm going to bite my fingernails off versus a game like this, I'd rather watch a game like this. Ked, your thoughts?
You know, I don't know where to start. I'm gonna be all over the place with this one. I guess I'll start with this. You're right. At the end of the day, they won. I understand why fans are mad because they gave up 97 points. Go www.bigten.org and look up any statistic in the Big Ten that you want to see. This Minnesota team, because people think this is a Minnesota team of the past, that they're not good. They average 75, 76, 77 points a game. This isn't a bad Minnesota team. And it does think that you gave up 97 points, but guess what? You scored 105. And I know at some point you want to start people, but the way Illinois plays basketball, I want people to go back. The internet is free. Look at the shot charts where people score in Illinois. People abuse Illinois in the paint. If you don't see or you don't know that Brad Underwood hadn't played Dame Danger, then I don't know what the hell to tell you. Tonight's the most minutes he's played all year. People punish Coleman in the post. We have talked about it tons of times on podcasts. Coleman doesn't like it. He's mentioned it. But Illinois' philosophy is they're going to give up twos and make you make hard threes. Go back to last year's game when they lost to Indiana home, where Trace Jackson Davis had 700 points. They didn't care. They lost the game and bit them in the butt. That's their philosophy. I don't coach it. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. He's won 21 games doing it. So if people don't like it, that's just the philosophy and what they're doing with this team. And they're still a tough matchup to guard defensively.
Yeah, look, I think ultimately, you know, Coleman Hawkins, as you noted, said in the post-game interview that Dane gives them a different look. And the fact of the matter is Coleman Hawkins is one of the best defensive players in the country. I'll debate that with anyone. True. At the same time, he is 6 foot, 8 and a half without his shoes. And he is not a 240 pounder. So he cannot guard guys and beat on them because he will be fouled out of games. You saw how two of his four fouls, I'm not certain, you know, how much contact there was. He can't do that because if he's out of the game, Illinois loses.
They lose, yes.
So if he plays the five, then he has to be very choosy on his defense when he does it. And a couple of his plays, to be honest with you, one of the fouls where he was trying to help as somebody lost their guy, and then he had to go back and get his guy on the pass to him. I mean, he's basically playing two men at once there and almost pulled off. He almost pulled it off. And so it is something that I look at and I'm like, when they have Dane in there, then you can get an opportunity to bang a little more and you can slow down guys on the inside. But I don't want Coleman Hawkins getting four fouls in the paint.
I want
to win basketball games. So those people who complain about Coleman can't play defense, you know, it goes back to, you can listen to our show that we have three guys who've coached extensively. And the fact of the matter is as much as I would like to see Dane in the game a little more, and I'd like to see Coleman get a little bit of help on the inside a little more, I do agree with the fact that, you know, if he's playing five, you've got to give up something to make sure that on the other end of the court, you can slay the dragon. And right now, if you're going to try to convince Brad Underwood that he would rather have Coleman Hawkins foul out and lose this 97-96, I don't think he'd agree with you.
I don't either. And I guess what I don't understand is that why people cannot see what they're trying to do. I mean, you don't play Dame Danger tonight, they lose. I said last week, and people They think they got the best of Kedrick because I said I wouldn't have anybody to guard Dame. Dame missed a bunch of bunnies, and tonight he didn't miss those shots. He gives them something, like Coleman mentioned, that they haven't had. Andy Katz mentioned it. They're throwing this, and I mean, they're giving Brad Underwood a subliminal message. You need a guy like that. Only because, you're right, Dame is a bigger body. There was a couple plays where Payne tried to body Dame. He didn't make a shot. Against Coleman, he scored. And this is a knock against Coleman. Because like I said to you, he said it to me personally. His father certainly can't stand it. But you know what? He doesn't say anything because that's what their philosophy is. And so I don't understand why this is a surprise to people. It's going to continue to happen. Look at Reese from Maryland, the big guy from Penn State. Everybody knows they're going to attack Coleman Hawkins. And guess what? Wisconsin's going to do a Saturday. And Dane's going to play Saturday. Brad Underwood, but he said it. Because if they don't play Dane Saturday, he gets in foul trouble, Illinois is going to get beat. Dane will give them a big enough body because you can't just, when he's in the air getting a rebound, he's not as small as Coleman. They bounce off him like flies, man. I mean, and he has long arms. He can go get balls and he gives you another possession many a time. So I'm happy for the kid. I personally think I wish he would have played more. I think there were games where he could have got in. Illinois is going to score points. We just know it. And at some point, I mean, I just heard Rafael Davis from Big Ten Network make the comment. He's right. They're going to get in the tournament. Shots aren't falling. Can they get a stop? Then guess what? Then the coaches, they have to make adjustments. Because if you think people are not going to scout Illinois, they're ranked. They're one of the top teams in the country. And so what these coaches are going to have, think about it, they're going to have 4 days before they play Illinois, before the tournament. Because Selection Sunday, they'll play on Thursday or Friday. There's going to be plenty of film out there. Well, let's look at the games where Illinois lost. Go back to Marquette when they lost. Coleman was hurt that game. They got punished in the paint.
Yep.
That's how you give up points. So if you want to know why they're giving up so many points, and they've given up 80 points in the last seven games, it's probably going to happen again Saturday.
Yeah, it probably will. And again, Illinois has three tougher than nails games now because you're playing Wisconsin on the road. That place has been a nightmare for most teams other than Illinois. You then play Purdue at home, and I'm sorry, but Edie, whether you like Edie or you don't like him, he is a very unique weapon in college basketball, and he's damn near unstoppable. And then you have to turn around and then go on the road to Iowa, who is playing excellent basketball. And those guys can shoot with anybody on any night, and they'll be playing at home, and they'll be having a reason to play.
Yes.
So you've got three teams that need their wins. Wisconsin has to try to salvage their season. Greg Gard's having another late season collapse. You have Iowa, who wants to get into the tournament, and you have Purdue, who wants to stay on the one line. I hope Illinois can go 2-1. That would be perfect. 3-0 would be great, but that's probably unrealistic. If they can go 2-1, that's a pretty dang good finish here.
Mike, and they could also go 0-3. And I'm gonna
Yes, they could.
I mean, if they do, I'm gonna avoid Twitter because I know what's gonna happen. Yes, you want to see them win, but people act as though these teams aren't supposed to win and that they're not good players. There are plenty of good players around. All these teams have transfers. Illinois, because some of these team people may not watch these opposing teams, a lot of guys got transfers. I mean, they have other players just because you don't follow them. I mean, Christie had an unbelievable game. People are sitting there trying to tell me they had open looks. I don't know if you're Ray Charles or Stevie Wonder, I don't know. Take your pick. They were contested shots, not every single shot. I'm not that stupid to understand that. They were making shots where they were being bodied. The one foul, the and one of Marcus Domask, he didn't touch him. And he gave him a chance to come down. That was a contested shot. Quincy Guerrier had his hand up in Christie's face twice, and he made shots. Tip your hat. These teams are fighting. Illinois has something that everybody wants, and it's that quad one win. There's not very many of them in the Big Ten this year because the conference isn't very good. So Yeah, I think give up 105 points. But how did you feel when you lost to Penn State when you gave up that many points? So take it and move on. I don't care about some stupid statistic. I'm not a fan. End of the day, the 21. They have 21 wins. And I'm sorry. I don't want to see games when it's 30-60 or 45-60. And I'll say it again. There's 14 teams in the Big Ten. There's only two teams in the conference, Rutgers and Maryland, that don't average over 70 points a game. 12 other teams are averaging over 70. So that means that they're putting the ball in the basket against everybody, not just Illinois. And I will say this about, you mentioned Zach Edey. If you think Coleman Hawkins is going to guard Zach Edey, because you saw how that worked out in West Lafayette, you're going to have to play Dane. And as much as I love Monty Hansberry, there's a difference. Dane's a better scorer right now than Amani. Amani's great, and the future's bright for him. Dane is a nightmare, and he's also going to be able to go get rebounds against him. I just don't want Brad to put him in the game, let him play 2 minutes, and sit him for the second half. Give the guy a chance to maybe get him in foul trouble. You get him in foul trouble, Illinois can beat Purdue at home.
They can, and that's what you got to do, because you don't want the opposite. Because if you have Coleman Hawkins in foul trouble, then there is some serious problems for Illinois dealing with Purdue. So you got to pick your poison there. And Dane is bigger and stronger, you know, and going up against Edie's a nightmare, but that's what you got Dane there for. And look, if you're an Illini fan and you want to get upset about, you know, the defense, where you get upset is a lot of people were upset that Illinois didn't get a point guard. I was less upset that Illinois didn't get a point guard. I would have liked one more big to have in the rotation.
Me too.
And so, you know, and I know Hunter Dickinson is a very unpopular guy. I think he's one of the best in college basketball because he actually tells people what's on his mind, as opposed to the one game at a time, one play at a time crap that nobody really thinks.
Believe.
Yeah, nobody nobody thinks it in their brain. And so I would have loved to have had him there. You know, if they could have found another, you know, $1.2 million, and that's easy for me to say, it's not my money, but I would have loved to have seen that, another big, you know, and you can look at multiple guys who signed this year. One more big would be great, because then you could have Dane and another guy. And then now all of a sudden you're playing Coleman at power forward, Guerrier at power forward and three, Ty Rogers, you know, at the three. And then you can put Shannon and Domask, and now you are loaded, and even a big guy, you can slow down. So, you know, get 1 million more in NIL next year so that you can spread it out and get one more player. That would be my, and I know that it's easy to say, you know, it's easy to spend other people's money, but the defense is what it has to be now. But I do think the decision that Coach Underwood made today to play Danger 19 minutes, where he can go 4 for 5, you know, from the field, he can give you 3 for 3 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds, even a nice assist. And even those fouls, those 3 fouls, Coleman Hawkins had 4. Well, if Dane doesn't play, probably one of those 3 is going to Coleman Hawkins.
Yes, and he's still on the bench. Exactly.
And now he's on the bench, and he's not out there to help close out the game. So, I guess I try to deal with what's actually in front of the Illini as opposed to some theoretical world, you know. So let's break down the game. I thought a couple things were really interesting. As rough as it was with Garcia in the lane and Payne, and I think Farrell Payne's another guy. I think, you know, he's got the physicals. He may be able to make it in the NBA with the athletic ability he has.
Big boy.
Yeah, and he, gosh, does he have some quick twitch when he goes up. He kind of reminded me a little bit of Baby Zion. But Illinois actually outscored the Gophers in the paint 50-38. I thought
that
was –
But you know why that was, though, don't you?
Go right ahead and explain it for the folks, kid.
to me, it was the booty ball, because Marcus Domas had 2 points at halftime. He had a three or two. He punished them. They found a weakness, and they went at it. What Minnesota did, Mike, was they did what Illinois does to people. They attacked the paint. But Illinois, they're efficient with it. They're very, very good with it. And now, you didn't see any high lows, because I know what you're asking me, but you were talking about Hunter Dickinson. You have another big like Hunter. You can do the high low action, and then Coleman really becomes dangerous, because then you have a guy in the post that's a career 55% shooter as well. But Illinois is really good at that, and they were able to exploit the booty ball. Teams were taking it away. But what I noticed, now I don't know if it was Coach Underwood, if it was Brad, or if it was Marcus Domask on his own, he was able to get to the middle of the lane. He's always gone baseline a lot. But today, it was because the way Minnesota and the way these teams are playing him, I think he's going to be effective again, and you're probably going to see a lot more of that, because now he's figured out how to get back to the basket. And so if you get him, then you got Terrence Shannon running down the court, making layups. That's all points in the paint. They just are. And then I believe Dame was 4 for 5. And all of his shots, except for that amazing hook, but it was in the paint. I don't know how he made it, but he did. Those were all buckets that they got inside the paint. I tell you what, it's hard for people to understand, because good things don't always happen to Illinois fans. Illinois, I get it. But I'll tell you, if they get the right seed and the right region, the teams don't want to face them. They are not going to want to play. Michael Jordan has always said, you're not going to be good with one person. With two people, you're going to compete. Three guys, you can win championships. They have four guys, in my opinion, because I've said from many months, Quincy Guerrier is the X factor. They have four guys, which means that they can win it. They have a chance to win it, because you can't take away everybody, every option. Now, I will say this. I think the toughest part of playing Purdue is that they play Zach Edey on Ty Rogers. He's not going to score on Zach, because Zach is so long. He blocks shots. He was able to do that against all the other bigs, but I don't think that works against Purdue. So I hope Brad has another game plan, because it's not going to work against him. Maybe, unfortunately, you lose rebounding, and maybe you get you play a Justin Harmon more or a Luke Goody more, because I think Ty's going to struggle. We're thinking he's going to get to the basket against even Wisconsin, because they're long.
Yep. Well, we will see. You know, that's the adding the wrinkles to the game. That's why those guys are paid the big bucks, you know, to put these things together. And it is tough, because you'd like to say, well, then I'll just have Ty go out and pick a lot of people. But, you know, Edie's just going to stay 10 feet back and kind of read what's going on. And with his length, you know, he can be a little bit more of a help on the pick and rolls, even if he's not going to have to go out there on tie very much. And so it gets to be really tough, but we'll see what they've got. You know, I mean, Underwood's been coaching for a long time, and certainly you look at Jeff Alexander and Chester Frazier and Tim Anderson, and those guys have run into an awful lot as well. So they'll put their heads together and see what they come up with. Quincy Guerrier, I thought he had two really big 3-pointers that helped, you know, get the Illini kind of push the lead out. And I thought, while he only had 3 rebounds, I thought he tried to body up to Garcia. He didn't get many calls going his way, but in the end, I thought he played pretty well. And that key contribution in the second half with those threes was big.
Mike, you know what's kind of sad? I'm not disappointed. I think he settles too much. I think he could bring so much more to the table, but he is a true definition of a team player. I think he's content. I think he's content with just getting his 8 or 9, 10 points a game if he can get 5 or 6 rebounds. He's still cheering on the bench. He has great body language. I pay attention to that. And if he could get the ball to his teammates and they're scoring, I think at this age, because he's 23, 24 years old, I think he's content with it. I mean, I know he can do more. I think in a tournament, I would like to see him step his game up, and I think he probably will, because this is it for him. I mean, he's has a kid, has a family. So I don't know what he's going to do after this year, but go out with a bang, because, I mean, he's the one guy that he's not on the top of people's scouting report, but he's a guy you have to account for.
Yeah, no, I agree. And of course, Terrence Shannon Jr. got to 1,000 points faster than anybody in Illinois jersey. It's hard to really encapsulate what he does for this team, because while the fast break points, you know, were only 6 points for Illinois, 5 for Minnesota, a lot of that was because the offenses were scoring at such an incredible clip that you almost have to run a fast break Loyola Marymount style out of your inbounds. And so I thought that Shannon, though, with shooting from the three, driving in the lane, he was just there was no answer for him on the Minnesota side.
Mike, we've been on this podcast for, 15, 17 minutes now, and the best player on the court we're just not talking about. And he had 29 points. Yeah. You know, that tells you where Illinois is. I mean, and certainly you don't want to take his talents for granted, because he had big buckets, you know, tonight. And I want to give kudos to Mr. Bradley Underwood. I think they had a 4 or 5 point lead, called timeout, maybe 6 points. Illinois called timeout. Yeah, they drew up a great play for Terrence in the corner. He had just made 2 out of 3 threes there, and he missed it. So when people talk about, like, what are you doing on the sideline? Are you sleeping? Go back to that play, because that didn't just happen. That, you know, they drew that up and it didn't go in, but the opportunity and the vision was there. Terrence is just an amazing player. He knows the clock is ticking. He has put himself back in the NBA limelight again. There's teams calling and teams being interested in him again, you know, as they should be. He's still a tough matchup, and he's going to be a tough out. I mean, just for anybody, because I guarantee in the tournament, he's going to be tough on people, because he's going to force officials to foul them to call fouls for him. So, like I just said to you, we've been talking, and this guy he put up a quiet 29 tonight, because I guess we're so impressed with Coleman and Dane and what everyone else is doing, we kind of forgot about Terrence.
Yeah, and I think the other one is Ty Rogers was 2 for 2, and I thought I do think he's coming close to the danger zone of getting a little too Ben Simmonsy. He passed up 3 layup/dunks to get the ball out to people, and I think 1 out of the 3, I think he got an assist on. I'd have to go back and look at tapes just to make sure. But boy, I would like to see him, you know, finish with 10 points, you know, where he gets those 3 layup/dunks, and you know, but I understand what he's doing, and he's certainly a great team player. And I do think that's something that I wonder how coach tries to balance that, you know, in the locker room and on the court when he's coaching him.
Well, I'll tell you the thing with Ty. How cool is this, Mike? He walks up to the free throw line, and think about what I'm about to say right now. I was surprised he missed 2 free throws. This is the same guy that shot 30% or something from the line last year. He's improved so much. I was in disbelief that he missed 2 free throws. That's how much he's improved his free throws. And you know what? I think I remember the one assist he got to Dane, because I think Dane got a dunk on. I do remember that one. The other ones, I'm not sure. I don't remember off the top of my head. But anyway, his defense, and here's another guy that I don't think people really realize sometimes how important it is to get offensive rebounds and give your team a second chance points. I think the best two guys on this team is Dane Danger and Ty Rogers. They do a remarkable job of, if they can't get it, they'll tip it out to a teammate. Those possessions matter, because, you know, they're huge. Illinois had a chance to go up 9 early, you know, with the second chance rebound that Ty got. But I think, Illinois missed the shot. But point being, I mean, those two gentlemen do a good job of reading the ball, and they're not selfish basketball players. Ty's is not going to be a, you know, 15, 20 point game scorer, but if he can go and give his team second chance, and he can defend, you know, and do what he's doing, because let's face it, he's not the point guard. We can pretend that he is. He's playing the 5. He's playing the center because the point guard of this team is Marcus Domas. Let's call it. It is what it is.
Yep. No, I agree with that. Now here's an interesting stat that I'm going to throw at you, and everybody talks about the how tough this game when you look on Twitter, and obviously Twitter is going to be tilted towards negative perceptions. But the Illini led this game, and for those of you who thinking 40 minutes, obviously they led this game for 34 minutes and 25 seconds. That is just incredible for what you read on the on Twitter, because people are very frustrated. And Illini spent they trailed for 3 minutes and 32 seconds. It that doesn't sound like a disaster of a game. I know it was a game that was very much in play until the very end, but it's not like they came from behind and needed the last second win, and you find out that they had been down 38 minutes of the game and did they really deserve it?
Mike, I think people, if they were true to themselves, I think they were frustrated. I think they just expected this to be the Minnesota team of the past. And here's why I say that. Illinois sells out every game. State Farm Center had a lot of empty seats in it tonight. They knew and they were expecting a win. So if they look in the mirror, that's probably what they're upset with. They thought they were just going to come in here and they were going to beat Minnesota by 20 points. And then they were going to sit around the campfire and sing Kumbaya. And Nico Miretti was going to play. And Imani Hansberry was going to come in and have career nights. That's what they thought. I didn't think that because I watch all these teams play. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen where you come in at the end of the season. Because Minnesota thinking that, hey, if we can come in and get a win here and get another win or two, and get one in the Big Ten tournament, we may get in the tournament. So give them credit. I can't sit and just look through one eyeball. You have to look at the whole, the whole hourglass. I can't say that Minnesota is bad. I think that guy is an up and young coming coach, and he's doing a great job. And if you don't win, you're going to get fired. You can see Chris Holtman at Ohio State. When Brad Underwood tells you how good the coaching is in the Big Ten, he's right. Anybody can beat anybody, and they take away your good things. I'm watching Iowa play last week, sitting at press row, and Brad Underwood, a lot of his plays, because it's loud, he'll make hand gestures. I'm watching the Iowa system make the same hand gestures telling his players what they're running. And that's on 2 or 3 days prep. So understand, it's not just about what Illinois does. Some of these other coaches can coach. I think Chris Collins is one hell of a coach. They're lucky that this guy doesn't have the recruiting tools that everybody else has, because I think he is an unbelievable basketball coach. So give these teams credit. I mean, they all have good players. They just do. Illinois has good players.
I think when you look at it, he's got to be the coach. I hate to do this to Coach Underwood, but I almost think that you have to give this guy the coach of the year, what he's done at Minnesota. Because if you would have told me that they'd have, 17 wins. And
17.
I would have laughed at you. And he has totally, I thought he's done the best job, versus expectations as anybody, in the league, a better job than anybody. And I would think, he would have to be somebody in the running versus Matt Painter, who you got the number one weapon and you finished first or look like you're going to be close. And that's what everybody expected you to do.
They expected him to finish first, Mike. To me, it's a three-person race. I think it's Underwood, I think it's Collins, I think it's Ben Johnson. People were not giving Illinois a lock in second. They weren't. They were picked anywhere from second, third, and fourth, and even fifth in some places, because they had Izzo up there, they had Indiana up there. Greg Gard is kind of, I think he's lost any opportunity, you know, and I think it'd be really tough. I think if when it's all said and done, I think the two people it will probably come down to is Chris Collins and Brad Underwood, because Chris Collins is going to be in the tournament. Minnesota, if they lose another game or two, that's going to be kind of tough to give a guy that award when you don't put your team in the tournament. So that's kind of why I would think. And Brad deserves one of these at some point. I mean, he's done a remarkable job. They won 20 games again. I mean, and yes, on a good day, I would agree with Ben. But, I mean, I think this is Brad or even Chris Collins. And, you know, like I said, Chris has some big wins. And they beat Purdue. They beat Illinois. And he may be the odds-on favorite, to tell you the truth, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, it's a heck of a job. You got to tip your hat and say nice work, because he really, you know, that team has done more than what anybody would have expected. And obviously we didn't talk much about Domask, but you know, he did the booty ball and got inside. I thought two plays I thought were really important down towards the end. Garcia was doing his best to give Domask all sorts of trouble, and he did that turnaround on the right side from about, I don't know, 8-10 feet over the top of Garcia, and that had to be a frustrating moment for Garcia because his defense wasn't that bad. And then I thought the other one that was really interesting as well is Garcia got the ball against Shannon on a switch, and he got it in the post, and instead of trying to work against Shannon, because Shannon is strong and he is quick, Garcia went out and tried to take a jump shot, which ended up missing. And when you back away from a 6'6 guy, when you're 6'9, 6'10, I thought that was Terrence Shannon enforcing his will over the main man of the other team. And little moments like that in a game are important, because later on, it takes options away from a player if in his mind, mentally, he's already made that decision.
Hey, I want to comment real quick on Marcus. I mean, it was kind of a cat and mouse game. You know, they had a little guy on Marcus and it was kind of tough for him to score. And then when Marcus got going, Ben Johnson, that's when he put Garcia on him. And he still was determined to score. I wanted to see it for future games. And what I mean by that is because if you look, there's like a straight line and they blind spot Marcus from both angles so he can't get to the basket. And tonight, like I mentioned earlier, he's starting to get to the middle of the floor more. And I want to see him do what he did to go at Garcia. Because if somebody does in a tournament, I don't want to see Marcus defer to passing the ball when he knows he can score. Because a 2-foot shot is a heck of a lot easier than a 17-foot shot or 22-foot three-pointer. So, I mean, I'm just looking at it from an X's and O's standpoint, or thinking from a coach, what would I do differently? And if teams try to do this for me, and, you know, just from a coaching standpoint, yes, the game is great for pure entertainment, but sometimes I'm just sitting here thinking a step ahead. For people that have coached, and if you get a license, and I just renewed my license again about a month ago, it's kind of unique because some of the things they tell you, like one thing I'm not a fan of, but it's true, coaches shouldn't be cheerleaders. They should always be thinking the next play ahead, and they should be thinking, what are you going to do with this? What should they do with this timeout? So I'm always thinking, because that's just been ingrained in me, to think, you know what, if Minnesota calls timeout, they're calling a timeout to do something or to, you know what I'm saying, or to change something. So that's just the mindset of coaches. And, you know, I'm not, and even if you don't coach, I'm just saying, I know that's just what do a lot of people think and what a lot of people are wired. I'm looking at X's and O's most of the time.
Yep. No, I totally get it. So before we close here, is there anything else that comes to mind that you wanted to bring up for the fans?
Again, I know social media is fun. I know it's not great, but people are so negative toward the fan base. You won. You should not be upset about that. Take the win, like we've mentioned many of other times, and move on. I will close with this. They won tonight, and it is very realistic, and it's very possible, Mike, and they could really lose all three of these next games. They really could, because two of them are on the road, and one of them you're playing the one of the best teams, if not the best team in the country. So save those frustrations that you have and look to the next game and next game and next game, because it won't, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, because it's not going to be.
Yep. No, I totally agree. It's definitely, there's no gimmies, and Illinois is playing three teams that are very tough, that have motivation, and two of them are on the road. So while Illinois also has motivation, and Illinois is also a tough team, there's no gimmies here. You know, in the Big Ten, which I think the people out in Washington, Oregon, USC, and UCLA are going to find out that this league's a heck of a lot tougher than they know. And they're going to find out next year. But there's no shrinking violets in this league. There may not be a super team, or, you know, this year, but there's a lot of teams that are just very competitive, as you see from this, that what this Minnesota team has done this year. There's a lot of teams that will just go out and battle, and they may not be perfect, but they'll give you a heck of a match. So, Ked, we appreciate that. We will talk to you, of course, on Saturday when Illinois plays at Wisconsin. It's at high noon on the Big Ten Network. Are you going to be up there for that game?
I'm thinking about it because I know how important this game is. I think I'm the luck charm. Just kidding.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
Everybody will be looking for the big 50-gallon hat, so they'll know that you're up there.
Easy to find.
We appreciate that, and we will be right back after these messages. Make sure you subscribe to the full family of Illini Guys podcasts, starting out with Eye on the Illini. That's where you can listen to myself, Brad, Ked, Matt, and others talk about the recent Illini events that are in the news. Sturdy for 30 is Brad's award-winning podcast, where you can hear 20 years of people that he's made contact with to talk about all things Illini, and Ked's Recruiting Roundup, where he talks to players, coaches, and parents about what it's like to be recruited. Make sure you subscribe to all of those so you're always in the know.
If I was your mother and you had a drug problem, I'd grab you by the ear and make you call and get help. You can be in treatment tomorrow and start to get clean in 7 days. Follow Mom's advice and call the Detox and Treatment Helpline now. Write this number down.
800-980-1761. 800-980-1761. 800-980-1761. That's 800-980-1761.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Eye on the Illini. Thanks to Brad and Ked for taking time out of their evening to talk with us. We'll be back on Saturday as we go over what happens at Wisconsin. If you'd like a preview of the Wisconsin game, join IlliniGuys.com and subscribe there. And you can listen to the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular on 30 stations across the state of Illinois. Go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio tab up at the top, and you'll see where it's on, what time it's on, and what day, Saturday or Friday. So listen to us and be ready for the game. Go Illini!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.